My next guest I had the privilege to sit down with is an IT tech, and their motto is fighting generational curses in everyday adult life. So within this episode, they talked about why they're fighting generational curses and how they're fighting generational curses. Also within this episode, we discussed them having a great relationship with their family. There was some pieces where they gave great advice for folks about living in your truth and being authentic to who you are. And they also discussed their absolute beautiful naming process. So how they got their chosen name, the process in which they went through to get their name, which was beautiful. So this was a really good episode. I hope that you enjoy. Hello and welcome to Them Boys Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Aaron, he, him, his, and I will be your guide throughout this journey on the show. This show is a platform where trans men of color voices will be amplified as we share our stories. Trans men of color are not monolithic. What that means is our journeys are not the same. We come from different backgrounds. We have different stories, family relations, chosen family, and most of all, we have different transition journeys. Visibility equals possibility. I like to say that all the time. We like to highlight on this show trans men of color businesses and entrepreneurs, parents, athletes, survivors, and many other issues and topics that are relatable to trans men of color in our existence. Them Boys Podcast is not only a platform to amplify our voices, but to raise awareness and conversation around our lived experiences. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting, listening, and sharing the show. Welcome to Them Boys Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Aaron, he, him, his. My next guest is an IT tech, and their motto is fighting generational curses in everyday adult life. So I'm excited to get into this. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to have the invitation and to be here.
Welcome. Welcome. So you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, everybody?
My name is Kanan. I go by KD as well. I'm from Reidsville, North Carolina, but I reside now in Greensboro, North Carolina. I am, like you said, I am an IT tech. I've been doing IT for a while, since high school. That's really my passion. I dibbled and dabbled a little in truck driving, so I have that kind of under my belt, too.
Nice. Welcome to the show. So how is the weather out there right now in Greensboro?
Wow. It is up and down, I will say, because one weekend it'll be 18 degrees below, and then the next weekend the sun will be out, and it'll be 75, 80 degrees.
Did you just say 18? I thought you were 18? About to say 80.
I wish.
Oh, hell no, sir. I'm not going to be able to do it.
One weekend, we had 7 days later, we had 75, 80 degree weather. I mean, sun out, everybody out, enjoying it, the warm weather. And then here we are again, 7 days later this week, right back to it.
Wow. Yeah. So
we got surprising weather.
Yeah, that's crazy. So for folks, we're recording this, we're in January, so we don't know when this will come out. So right now in January 2024, it's below 8. I can't do it. I can't even say it. Below 18. Nah, I ain't going to be able to do it. Yeah. You'd be like, where's Sean? I'm in the house. I ain't never coming out.
Yeah, I promise you. And my birthday's in January, so you would think I like it. Every January, I try to celebrate my birthday somewhere where it's warm. I cannot stand the cold weather, man.
Yeah, I believe
it's,
that.
It's too cold.
Yeah. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to the grocery store. I ain't doing nothing.
I'm going to order groceries. I'm going to be right here in the house. Yeah, I am not going anywhere.
Forcing somebody else to be out in the cold to bring you your groceries.
Somebody that like it. Somebody out there likes it, though. That's somebody true. Is okay with that. You know what I mean? But I ain't the guy that is. That ain't me.
Yeah, I can watch it on TV. I can see it in movies, but I don't want to be in that shit. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's the prettiest thing, the snow, the cold weather on TV, but that's as close as I want to get to it.
Yeah, that's crazy. So the name Kanan, please explain to us, like, how did that name choose you?
So I am a what you would say, really a family guy. You know what I mean? My family and my circle of close friends mean the most to me. They are a very big part of me being a man I am today. So when I first started to transition, I had first talked to some of my group of best friends. Those are my close friends. There are five of them. And I know I can come to them with anything in this world. And they feel vice versa. So I came to them with it. So I'm like, but, you know, I want a name that fits me, that suits me. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I need y'all's help because I love y'all. I care about y'all. I know y'all going to give me some of the best. So we sat around in a circle together one night and we just started coming up with names. And I wanted to keep my dead name starts with the letter K. I wanted to keep that because of the initials from every man in my family have the initials DH. So I kind of wanted to keep my initials. And then I have five nephews, believe it or not. I have five nephews and my sisters all named them with a K after me. I wanted them to give them all like name them right after me. 1, 2, 3, 4. So instead of that, they just all named them something with a K after me. Five nephews. So I kind of wanted to keep my initials. So when we sat down, we was talking about it, we came with Canaan. I felt like it fit me. I said it. I went with it. And it chose me.
I love that. You like the first person I've heard. So I've had different firsts on here of like how people got their names, how the name chose them. But this is the first time that I've heard somebody say they had a group of friends that came together to choose it. Like, I love that. That's like a community or like a village naming process.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
Did y'all do anything in the circle while y'all was coming up with it? Like, was it?
We were sitting down. We had already, one of my friends, she loves to cook. Like, she's that one in the group. She loves to cook. So that's why we were originally at her house anyway. And then I had decided, since we were all there, you know, when you get older, your schedules are crazy from your friends. So I had told him, you know, this was our one time meeting this month. I'm like, let me just, you know, talk to him about what I got going on now. So I talked to him about it. I had talked to him about it before, but because I was ready and this is what I was starting to do, I talked to him about it. And they're like, so, you know, what are you going to change your name to? And so I'm like, that's a good question. So I had a few names and they're like, I don't know. Do you really like those? You know, do those make you fall in love with it? Do you feel it as you? And I'm like, nah, you're right. I don't. And I know other guys with those names. No, that one won't work. So we tried a few and they were like, you should look in the mirror. And when we figure the name, say them. And if you feel like you fall in love with it and it fits you, then that's the one we know you're going to go with. So I'm in the mirror. I'm saying all the names. I'm like, nah, I don't like that one. That one's like a kid or something. So we going through names. Everybody coming up with names. We all came to that one. And everybody's head was like, yeah, that one. So I looked in the mirror. I said it twice. And I was like, yeah, it's that one. I love that one.
That is absolutely beautiful. And I love how you said she. So I'm assuming when I'm thinking of, oh, I'm getting in a circle to with my friends, I'm thinking like, oh, all my bros. But you, there was a mixture of folks in the group with you.
Yep. I had my older brother and I had all five of my female best friends. All of my best friends are females.
Like, that gave me goosebumps. So like, to just that, when you said, you know, your family and your friends is everything to you, I'm like, yeah, okay, people say that. But like, that's deep. That's another level. For to have your family and your friends to help name you. That's, I love it. I love that. So that leads me to ask, like, so how did your transition journey start? So you mind sharing your transition journey with us from like beginning to where you are now?
No, I don't. So once I was a masculine female. I've been a masculine female for as long as I can remember. Even before I was old enough to really settle in between the times of figuring out who you really are, who you want to be. Even before then, I felt like as a little kid, and I have to show you the pictures of me as a kid, I already looked like a male. I literally spent all my time with my brothers. I'm on the back of bikes. I'm all through the woods all night. I'm getting bit by stuff. I'm right there with them. And I look exactly like them both. Down to pictures where we all three of us were little to how we are grown now. I look exactly like them. So As I started to kind of figure out who I wanted to be, I started as a masculine female, you know, or what they would call a stud, maybe, per se. And then last year, when I turned 29, I turned 29 January 15th of 2023. I turned 29 years old, and I felt like that I was still hiding who I really was. It's like, you know, I tell everybody, be who you are, live in your truth. But I wasn't living in mine. I'm walking around giving out advice that I can't even live by on my own. I'm not living in my truth. I'm still not happy. You know, this is who I want to be. I know this is who I am, but I'm still not happy. And so I had talked to a trans bro that I have now. He was like, since I started transitioning, I've been the happiest man ever. And I was so nervous because I'm like, God, I don't know. I don't know. I was more so worried about how my family, because like I told you, I've always been big on them. They've always loved. They always support me. But this was a big change. And so I was nervous. I was scared straight. More so of how it would affect my mom and my sisters. So I said, you know what? But in this life, it's about me. And if that they love me like they always have and support me, all my antics, all my craziness, everything that I do, then this won't be a problem either. So I said, you know what? I'm going to just do it. I called up my primary care physician. I set up an appointment with her. I talked to her about it. I talked to my therapist about it prior. And she said, you know what? I think that's going to be an amazing journey for you. And I can't wait to see your results. And so from that day, I started it. I have a friend who is a nurse. She is an RN at the hospital here. She was like, I would love to start, you know, a TikTok, a YouTube, some videos to have on file to start your journey. So she gave me my very first testosterone shot. From there, I started to see all of the changes. My changes came really fast. And that's when I knew, too, like, I'm really getting ready to be who I want to be. I had begun to lose weight. I had begun to stand up straight, like the small things. So through this whole year, all of these changes that came, my voice was kind of deep prior to, but it had started to get raspy and kind of settled to where it's at now. Here we are a year later. I had to talk with my family about it. And to my surprise, some, they still supported this too. And it was the conversation with my mom that I felt like was going to be the hardest because that is my backbone. That is my go-to. That is my biggest supporter. And in that conversation with her, she literally came out of her mouth and said, you are still my baby. You're always going to be my baby. It doesn't matter who you decide to be. If tomorrow you decide you want to be a bird, I'm going to allow that. I'm going to love you no different. I'm going to treat you no different. She was like, she loved the fact that I'm deciding to be comfortable enough to be who I want to be. And she's happy for me. She only asks that anything that I decide to do, any procedure, anything serious, that I include her. She never wants to feel like I shut her out because I feel like I don't have anybody. So I always have her. She's going to be at every surgery. She's going to be at anything I decide, she's going to be there. So this year mentally has been up and down, but I can say I've had the balance of my family and my friends to kind of help in any area. I kind of felt gray. I kind of felt low. This year was kind of rough for me career-wise. So on top of career-wise, mentally and physically, going through all the motions and changes of being a new trans guy, you know, their love, their support, they're dealing with my up and down mentally. It meant the world to me. It made my very first year way better and easier than I could ever imagine. And before I even started to become the man I am now, I always wanted to fight, you know, generational curses. My dad is an alcoholic narcissist. And people look at me and they say all the time, when I go back to my hometown, even my mom says it now until she realized that I don't like it as much. You look just like your dad. Oh my God, you look even more like him now. You look just like him. You're his twin. And I fight every day to be nothing like him. I don't want to be the inch of lick of anything like him. He is not a good person. And so that is my day-to-day battle. That is my want to beat generational curses. I don't want to be anything like that.
So my question to you is, first of all, thank you for being vulnerable and thank you for sharing all of that. And I like to say that, you know, I say this all the time, actually. When somebody has the love and the support from their family, anything that the world has to say don't even matter. You know, if you got that love at home that you need, I don't give a fuck what nobody else say in the streets. That don't matter to me, because I know when I go home, my mama love me. My sisters love me. You know what I mean? That means so much. So for people that's listening, like, it just take that little bit of second. You don't have to like what somebody's doing, but to have that moment of openness and understanding and trying to get to know why a person is, why they having a problem and why they want to transition. It just means a lot. If we could just open up our minds as family members and just listen a little bit. So I wanted to ask you, like, how did that make you feel? First you was nervous about telling your mom, but then once you told your mom, how does that make you feel that she had all of these wonderful things to say?
It felt like a weight was lifted. Like, you know, you get that feeling where you're nervous about going into something and it turns out to be amazing. And you kind of get that butterfly, that relief feeling all through your body. That's what it was like talking to her, talking to my sisters. Like, I have 5 sisters. So talking to all of them, it was kind of a relief to hear some of their responses. And in all honesty, my baby sister, it took her a little while longer to understand why. She wanted to know why I wanted to be this. Like, she's been used to me being who I was, and she thought I was happy who I was for so long. She couldn't understand why. So she kind of had a little backlash about it. But her and I went out, we had got some food, and I talked to her about it, why I was deciding to do what I'm doing, how much happier I am now. And she sees it for herself, because now she tells me, you do look a lot happier. And I tell her, see, we had to go through all of that fist and fuss, that back and forth. Now look. She was like, yeah, you're right. But that's my baby sister, man. Those younger siblings, golly.
Yeah. So my question I want to ask you then, if somebody says, well, why? So somebody listening, maybe it's somebody listening that don't understand our stories as trans men, right? Now, it might be somebody that's not trans identified. And they say, well, why are you doing it? So what would be your answer to somebody say, well, why did you do it?
Because in this life, it's about being who you are and living in your truth. And so if in your heart you feel like you are not happy at where you're at, and that transition or that change in your heart is would bring you the happiness you need, and that is your truth, I want you to do it. I want you to listen to this podcast, and I want you to do it. I don't want you to be nervous. I don't want you to consider society. I don't want you to do any of that. I just want you to do it. Live in your truth. Be who you are. This life, you only get to be happy. That's it. That's it. Your goal is to be happy. And you can't do that without living in your truth. So I'm doing it because this is my truth. I am a happier person now, mentally. It shows physically with weight loss and muscle gain and even down to my posture. Now that I am the man I am now, the man I've been wanting to be this whole time. It shows, it reflects my happiness, my change, my growth. It's reflecting on the outside just as much as I feel it on the inside. So I am doing it because I am living in my truth. I am being the man I want to be.
Hey, this is Sean Aaron. I'm the founder and executive director of Them Boys, Inc. I am also the host of Them Boys Podcast. As you may know, Them Boys provides financial assistance to trans men of color in order for them to obtain gender-affirming surgery. We have great news. We are currently looking for volunteers to help support our programs. Our programs include our gender-affirming surgery grant program and also our personal care package program. We personally curate packages filled with personal hygiene items, just to name a few, things like tissue, soap, towels, toothpaste, and toothbrushes. We mail them out to trans men of color across the country who may be in need of help caring for their personal hygiene needs. We are looking for volunteers to help raise funds to support our programs. Also, we're looking for someone locally to the Bay Area to help us put all of the care packages together. If our mission is something that resonates with you and you would like to help support our work, just let us know. you can send an email to hello@themboys.org. That is hello@dembois.org. And we will get back to you with further details. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the next episode. So you said posture. You said that a few times. And when I'm hearing you say that, I'm like, I never thought about posture. But why do you think your postures would change?
And I know it is because other people that have known me, even my therapist. So when I first started transitioning, you know, I guess a lot of masculine women kind of got that walk, or some of us may have like a kind of a hunch over. Or once I tried binding, and it wasn't the most pleasant thing. So I tried the tape as well. One of my trans bros gave me some tape to try out. And she had told me once I tried on the binding and the tape, she was like, once you put that on and you walk to, I watched you walk to the bathroom, look in the mirror, you instantly started to stand up straight. Your head was up. When you came in, you were just kind of walking, you know, head down, going where you were going. Your head lit up when you walked in the bathroom and looked at yourself without your chest. Your head, your smile, you lit up in the face. You stood up completely straight. And so now every time I pass the mirror, I look at like pictures and videos of me, and I just look like, dang, I am standing up straight now.
I didn't realize it, because when you said that, I was like, damn, I'm thinking about my posture. How was my posture? Mm-hmm. But I think it probably was because I wasn't happy with my body. I wasn't happy with how I look. I didn't want people to. I think I mostly kept my head down. And sometimes I'll catch myself walking with my head down, and then I'll be like, wait a minute, Sean, why are you walking with your head down? Put your head up. What the fuck? Get some confidence in yourself. But there I think it was because I didn't want people to address me in a certain kind of way. So I looked down because I didn't want people to see my facial features at that time before transitioning and call me ma'am, or, you know, say things to me like that. So I kind of shrunk myself to stay hidden. And I think we also kind of conditioned in that way too, right? When you female identified folks or at birth, you're conditioned to be quiet, to, you know, don't make too much noise, don't be seen, you know, all of those things, right? So I think it kind of plays a little part in that too. So I want to ask you, for somebody listening, do you have any advice for, like, say somebody is like, you know what, I'm about to transition to start to medically transition, and I want to talk to my mom, I want to talk to my parents, I want to talk to the people that raised me, my loved ones. Do you have any advice of what someone can do to prepare to have that conversation?
I would say to the same confidence that you are putting in yourself on a daily to get up and go do day-to-day things, work, you know, whatever you say, that same confidence you need to have in addressing your family. Because your family, too, is their society, too. So you need to have that same confidence and address them. Because like it or not, that's who you are. That's who you want to be. That's who you're going to be. And that's who you are. And some of them may not accept it up front. You may have, you know, one or two that do and then some that don't. But it's who you are. So if that love and that genuine care for you is there, it's going to show in that conversation. So have it. Have it. Don't worry about what backlash or feedback you're going to get. Have it. Because it's going to start with your family, your respect, your correct pronouns, your not the use of your dead name. Those people are going to be the ones that do it the most, that you need to kind of deal with and handle the most. So have that conversation. It's a hard one for some people, because I know some people's parents could be homophobic or could, you know, completely go against you. Have it anyway. Face it head on as the man or woman that you are and deal with it anyway. Have it. Have those hard conversations.
So what if the conversations are had? Say we have a hard conversation. I had the conversation with my mom and it didn't go well. And if for folks that have listened to previous episodes, it ended up in homelessness and some other things that happened, right? So what would be somebody, what if they had that conversation and it doesn't go well? But now what? So now should I not transition because I had a hard conversation with my parents and they don't accept it? What should I do?
You should still do it. You should still do it. Because sometimes I think families have fear for you. fear that you won't be safe or that certain things will stop for you. Still do it. That's who you are. It's your happiness. It's your happiness. It's your truth. Live in your truth. I am a firm believer of living in your truth. If that's who you are and that's the man you want to be, even after those hard conversations, which I know if they don't go well, mentally and emotionally, they're going to be hard. And you're going to have to deal with that too. Deal with the fact that you had to have a hard conversation and that's the reaction you got. But you have to deal with it. You can't run from it. You have to deal with it. But once you deal with it, do not let it hold you back. Do not let it stop your plans. Use that as strength to be the man you are even more. Show them that the man you are is going to make you happy. This is who you are. Show them. You gave them a chance to talk to you and you told them. Now it's time to show them. Show them. Because some of my family didn't believe that I was really even doing it until I came to the very next family function. And they're kind of like, wow, you're doing that. Some of my friends were like, wow, you're not scared? No, this is who I am. And if you can't respect me, if you can't love who I am, and because I'm the man I am now, then you can go ahead and exit my life now with no foul, no harm, no love lost, but you can go. I only need the people around me that love and accept who I am now, the man I'm becoming. That's all I need.
Absolutely. Because it's all about your peace of mind at the end of the day. If you're not contributing to my peace of mind or my mental health, if you're harming me mentally, I can't deal with you. And that's in any relationship, right? That's not just family. That's friends. That's romantic relationships. That's coworkers. That's all that. If you're not here for me, hey, don't let the door hit you. They say
where the good Lord split you is what they say, ain't it?
All right. I wasn't going to finish it because I was like, wait a minute, that's the old man saying, but
yeah. I'm the old man. Out of my friend group, they call me the old man. So yeah, where the good Lord split you.
Yeah, there you go. I especially now in my life, I'm about to be 43 years old. I don't have time. Yeah, I don't have time for negative folks in my life around me and who I am as a person. Hey, you can go there. And yeah, so. I want to talk about, you said you fighting generational curses every day in your adult life. And that can mean multiple things, right? So what does that specifically mean to you in your life?
So I am what people would say a spitting image of my dad, right? From the time I was little growing up till now, people tell me all the time, people that know me when I was little, people that see me now, I look just like my dad. Oh, man, you look just like your older brother, your dad, your older brother. You look just like him. And my dad is not who I want to be like. He is not a role model for me. I'm actually fighting every day to be nothing like him. I had locks, 12 and a half years worth of locks. On my 30th birthday, I cut them off. My dad has locks and he's had them his whole life. I cut them off. I don't want to be anything like him. He is an alcoholic narcissist. Narcissistic personality disorder runs in my family. And on top of having my therapist and my therapy, you know, to kind of help me work through it and things like that, I don't want to be anything like him. So when I say be generational curses, alcoholism runs on both sides of my family, from my mom and my dad. My mom is not an alcoholic, but my dad is. And so with that being so close, I've seen it so close in family. I've seen it hurt people around him. I've seen it hurt him. It's still to this day hurting and damaging him. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I don't any of that. So every day, anything that I feel like takes me there, triggers me into those curses, anybody that even tries to place me in those type of curses, I keep it away from me. I get it away from around me. My mom used to tell me all the time growing up, like, God, you look just like your dad. She doesn't even do that anymore because she realized how much it triggers me and how much I don't like it. My mom told me she will never do anything to make me uncomfortable. And if that's something that makes me uncomfortable, she stopped doing it. She doesn't say it anymore. She may think it, and it may very much so be the truth. And I hate to say it, but idiots. You know, I do look just like him, but I'm not him. I don't want to be anything like him. I want to be my own man. I want to be better than him, actually. I don't want to be alcoholics. I did find myself at one point in my life in my 20s fighting it harder. Like, you know, if I would have a stressful week or stressful day, I would want to drink something to kind of take the edge off. I realized that and I fought it. So I didn't drink for over a year. I completely detoxed my body because, again, that's not who I want to be. I won't fall into curses or patterns of all the men in my family. I won't do it. So every day I fight it.
You saying that you fight it every day. So what are some of the tools or things that you use or that you do or incorporate into your life to help you fight it?
I go to therapy. I've been seeing a therapist for a few years now. Once I was informed that narcissistic personality disorder runs in my family and that it is hereditary. And one of my very first cousins on my dad's side is who was diagnosed with it first. And then it shows in my dad, I went ahead and started getting, you know, finding some help for it. So I do that. I like to stay busy to keep things from triggering me or to keep, you know, my mental, I try to stay busy. So I do drive trucks during the day. I also run a bar on the weekends. I just try to stay busy. If I'm not working, I do different hobbies. I make TikToks. I spend time with the woman that I date. I spend time with my nephews. You know, I just try to stay busy. That's my way of kind of coping and dealing and keeping certain things out of my mind or out of my way.
Hey, this is Sean Aaron, the host of Them Boys Podcast. Are you enjoying the podcast so far? Great. I'm glad that you are. Would you consider donating today to help support the continuation of this podcast? As you know, this podcast aims to serve as a platform to highlight and amplify the voices of trans men of color and share our transition stories. The podcast not only aims to amplify trans men of color voices, but it also raises awareness around our lived experiences. You would like to donate? Where can you donate? Great. I'm glad that you asked. Link in our description will take you directly to Network for Good, whom we've partnered with in order to collect donations for the podcast. Or you can visit our website. On the website, click the donate button. And from there, you are able to donate directly to the podcast. All donations are tax deductible. What does the donations go to? Oh, I'm glad that you asked. Your donation will help to support our production costs. We are working with Jasmine from Pink Lady Productions that brings you this awesome content. And also, we pay our guests an honorarium. Pay our guests an honorarium? Yes, we do. Why? Because as trans men of color, we would like to support and uplift each other and honor the time that's given out to come here and share their stories. So if you love this podcast, share and donate. See you on the next episode. Take care. So you say you work at a bar on the weekends. Does that being in a bar in that situation, does it make it harder for you to maintain or to stay away from doing that?
You know, surprisingly, it makes it easier because while I'm having to be sober and babysit all of the other drunk people, I'm like, I look like that, act like that. Nah, ain't no way I look like that, act like that. Did he really just throw up on the floor? Like, it, all of the things that I witnessed, because I am sober and I'm at this bar, I'm witnessing other people. Last weekend, a chick was leaving. Cops pulled her over. I said, oh, no. All of those things kind of remind me, like, the things that you're fighting, what you're doing, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, no, it actually opens my eyes a little more, keeps me alert to things that I am fighting.
Check then.
Yep.
Yeah. So you like, this is a reminder of why I don't do these things.
All of these things I'm seeing go on every weekend I'm at the bar. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you ever watch the show Shameless? It's a TV series called Shameless.
Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah. When you was talking about like just your dad and just how he is, it made me think of, what's the dad name? Frank.
Frank.
How dysfunctional Frank ass is on Shameless.
That's my dad. Wow. With all the kids and everything, that's him. That is a very good comparison. I like that. Frank Gallagher is that. That's my dad. My dad has that many children plus two. Well, you know, Frank never knew how many kids he had. No way.
Right.
So that is my dad plus two extra kids. Yep. Yep.
Then I can even imagine. I watched Shameless. Well, I watched all the series. It's not on anymore. But like, I used to be pissed off at Frank for the stupid shit he did. So I can't even imagine having a dad like that in real life. Right. And that's somebody's story. You saying that that's your story.
It is. And he pisses my sisters off on a daily. If it's not on a daily, they just cut him off. Go talk. He upsets my siblings a lot. I've got so much control over my peace and my mental. I don't let him disrupt me with all that craziness. Mm-hmm. I have his text messages on mute. I screen his calls. I have to mentally be ready. And I'm going to text to check and see if he's drunk. So I kind of got a little more control than my younger siblings may. Me and my older brother do, than my younger siblings may. So, yeah, no. We don't allow that.
I love that, what you said. That's a way to block out all the unnecessary energy that you don't need in your life. Say that again for people. What are the things that you do to block that out?
I have his messages on mute and I screen his calls. I text to see if he is drinking prior to me even calling back, because all of that energy I don't need. And once he's been drinking, it's nothing but negative energy and kind of disrespect, I would say, to who I am. He doesn't respect my pronouns. He constantly uses my dead name. And I don't want that around me. And even as you being my father, you don't get the courtesy. So, good day with you. And what did we say? Don't let the door hit you with a good Lord split you. Because, sir, you got to go.
Yeah,
you got to go.
That is like nuggets of advice for folks that's listening. Because some people are like, but it's my mom, but it's my dad. Nah, that don't matter. At the end of the day, they're human beings. Grateful. Thank you for bringing me into this world. I appreciate it. You was my vessel to get here, or your mom was the vessel, or however you got here from whoever the birth giver was that got you here. So I won't say mom, because not all people that have children are identify as mothers. But right. I would like to say that just because it is your parent, hey, if they not respecting you and your peace, you got to go. That's it.
And I always tell people that whole, but it's your mom and it's your dad, this and that. The only leeway I give it to my mom, and I'm going to tell you why. I give it to her when it came to getting used to not using my dead name and my pronouns, because even when she made the mistake, she corrected it. You see what I'm saying? I tried to understand that for 29 years, this is who I've been. This is who, she birthed to be. So it's a little harder for her and it's taking her a little more time. But the respect is still there and it's always shown. If she does slip up and do it because of habit, force of habit, she instantly fixes it. And it's so much as only happens if we're over the phone or if we're through text. When she's actually physically looking at me, it doesn't happen. It comes so natural. And I tell people the smallest things with my mom was even like birthday cards had my correct name, pronouns. All my gifts from Christmas, from her, my aunts, my friends, had my name and my correct It's just the respect, even though they're getting used to it and trying to transition with me. Even when they slip up or they make the mistake, they automatically, they apologize and then they correct. And this is my mother.
That is beautiful. You know how blessed you are, right?
I do. And I tell everybody, I am blessed. I do.
That's definitely something that some folks listening, or even myself, that we just didn't get. And as a child, even no matter how old you get, you always have that longing for your parental love. And so you always want the love from your parent, right? And sometimes in life, you just don't get it. And sometimes, just like you, sometimes you do get it. And I'm happy that you got it in your life and you was able to experience that and the love from your parents. And just to have somebody name their sons after you, like,
that's my sister. Right there. Listen, and when they hear this, I can't wait for them to hear it. They literally, my sister that's right after me, I was like, man, y'all starting to have kids already. I want y'all to name all of them after me, because I knew they were all going to have boys. My dad had all girls. And so I knew, my sister's going to have boys. And they literally all start, as my nephews came, all boys. Oh, I said, oh, yes, just name them after me. When it got time, everybody thinking about the name them after me. So literally all of my nephews, all of them start with a K. So that's another reason I wanted to kind of keep my initials too.
Yeah, I love that.
To kind of keep that going. And I want to have kids, so my son's name is probably start with a K too. Yeah, I said son because I got high hopes. Yeah.
I love that. So how was your relationship with your nephews? Are they still young or how was that?
Yeah, my relationship with them, I am close to them. Those are my boys. Even if I'm having something at my house with all of my sisters, they are usually in attendance. If not all of them, most of them. You know, I love them. And I was at a point this year for Christmas, you know, financially and stably to where I could have all of them here and give them all the gifts they wanted. And that meant the most to me. I had all of my sisters here, all of my nephews watching them running around my house, opening gifts, playing with each other. It meant the world to me because me and my sisters grew up together. So it was only right that they all grew up together. And so I love that. I am extremely close with all of my nephews. I try not to miss a football, basketball game if I can help it. They want to come over and just be over. I try to always make that available. If they just want to call me and FaceTime me for me to watch them play the game, we can do that. So I always try to keep a close relationship with them.
Your family, man. I love it.
Yes, yes. And that's why I want to start a family of my own. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
That's what's up. So I want to say, is there any last moment or last thing or bit of advice you want to give to somebody that's listening or anything last that you want to say?
We touched on this. To anybody thinking about starting to transition, anybody just now starting to transition, if you don't take anything else from this, remember to be who you are and live in your truth. Everything else will come. Everything else that is meant for you will come and it will fall into place. Be who you are. Live in your truth.
Love it. So this is a part of the show where I love to ask the guests. And if you listen to the show, so you know where this is going. I love to ask the guests a random question. So now I got 36 questions on my list. So pick a number between 1 and 36 and I read that question off to you.
And I got a lucky number, so let's do 15.
15. You have listened to the show. So do you remember why it's a 15 is? Or are you just picking 15?
I'm picking 15 because that's my lucky number. I don't think I remember exactly which one is.
Because I think I read this one before. All right, I give you that. So if you were stranded on an island, who are the three people you would want stranded on the island with you?
Oh, okay. Well, first and foremost, my mom is coming. I don't care if I got the draggers kicking, screaming. She is coming. So I would have to say her. Who else would I have to have with me? Three people. It's going to have to be two of my sisters, my mom and two of my sisters. Because when in doubt, I know they're going to deal with my craziness. We're going to figure something out together and we're going to make it happen. So,
I love it. Yeah, I can't even name three people I would want to take with me. I just leave me stranded by myself.
That's
the first time I get a break.
If you leave me stranded, I'm going to find a way to call my mama. You better believe
it. I love it. Hey, yeah. Kanan, thanks for being a guest on the show. I really appreciate you for coming here, being vulnerable and sharing your truth. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I am truly grateful. This is an amazing platform you have going on here. And I am going to continue to spread the word to new trans guys, you know, other trans guys looking. I will continue to spread it. So I thank you for having me.
So we have reached the end of this episode. I want to say thank you for listening to Them Boys Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Sean Aaron, he, him, his. Be sure to visit our website at themboys.org. That is themboys.org. If you would like to connect with us, be sure to follow us on Instagram or Facebook. If you think you would be a great guest on the show, or if you know somebody you think would be a great guest on the show, there's multiple ways to request to be a guest on the show. First is you can go visit our Instagram page, click the link in our bio, and from there you'll be able to request to be a guest on the show. or you can visit our website. Click the programs tab up top, scroll down to podcast, click the podcast button, and from there on the podcast page, you'll be able to request to be a guest on the show. Yo, we need questions, y'all. If you have those burning questions, a question that you want to ask me or a future guest on the show, there's multiple ways that you can send in questions, right? So first, you can go to Instagram, DM us that question, or you can email us at hello@themboys.org. That's H-E-L-L-O, like hi, at themboys.org. Be sure to like the show. Be sure to share this show out with your friends and other folks in your networks. So until next time, take care.